Good morning and welcome to the May Spiritual Outreach Call. My name is Ray LaRose and I have the distinct honor of introducing our speaker for today. Bishop Robert Baker is the Bishop Emeritus of the Diocese of Birmingham in Alabama. He is a native of Ohio, where he received his bachelor's degree in philosophy and a master's degree in theology studies, both from the Pontifical Josephinum College in Columbus. Bishop Baker was ordained in 1970 for the Diocese of St. Augustine. His first assignment was in Jacksonville as assistant pastor, and he also taught at a Catholic high school. As a relatively newly ordained priest, he was assigned to study at the Gregorian University in Rome, where he received his doctorate in dogmatic theology. Following his graduation, he held various posts, including spiritual director at his alma mater in Ohio, director of the Catholic student parish at the University of Florida in Gainesville, and at St. Vincent de Paul Seminary in Boynton Beach, Florida. Over the years, Bishop Baker has served in many pastoral roles, as well as roles in education. In 1999, Bishop Baker was ordained and installed as Bishop of the Diocese of Charleston. And in 2007, Bishop Baker was assigned to the Diocese of Birmingham in Alabama, and he officially retired in 2020. Bishop Baker has a significant resume as an author. He wrote the foreword for a book published last year titled The Embrace of God's Mercy, Mother Elvira and the Story of Community, Chinacolo. His episcopal motto is Rejoicing in Hope, a fitting connection to his talk this morning on Our Lady of Joyful Hope and the Community, Chinacolo. Welcome, Bishop Baker. And thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much, Ray, and it's an honor to be with the I wish it were seen as a dialogue, but at least that we'll share from my standpoint. It'll be somewhat of a monologue the next half hour, but I will be with everybody that's online in spirit, in faith, hope, and love. And indeed, an honor to be with the dames and the Knights of Malta, whom I have great, great respect for. And I'll begin with a little prayer that was composed some years ago to Our Lady and Mother of Joyful Hope. And there is a shrine to Our Lady of Joyful Hope in South Carolina. She's referred to as the Mother of South Carolina. And there is a statue of her there, and there's a statue of Our Lady of Joyful Hope in the Chinacolo community in Hansville, Alabama, near Mother Angelica's monastery. There's a community of the Chinacolo community there, Our Lady of Joyful Hope. And I just want to, just before praying the prayer, express my gratitude to Jack and Linda Del Rio, who donated that statue. And it's the image of Mary holding Jesus, who holds the Eucharist in his one hand. In Mary's other arm, she holds the rosary. And this devotion to Our Lady of Joyful Hope combines then a Marian devotion that involves the Lord of the Eucharist and the Holy Rosary. And so join me in this prayer together. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. To you, Our Lady of Joyful Hope, we entrust the priests, deacons, seminarians, religious men and women, laity, and all the people of the world in their joys and their sorrows, their triumphs and their defeats, their successes and their failures. As Mother of Christ and Mother of the Church, you are also Mother to all who call upon you in their need. You are the Mother of all races and all people. Help our universal human family and all our families to draw closer together. Help our youth to find meaning, purpose, and direction in life. Help our frail elderly to know you are with them. Help our sick, poor, abandoned, addicted, and unborn to be rescued by your love for them, reaching out through us. Lead us all closer to your Son, our Lord, our Savior, and our God, who is present with us in the most holy Eucharist. Through our prayers to you, Mother of Joyful Hope, especially the prayer of the Rosary, help us to become people of hope and of joy, radiating God's love for us always in your Son, Jesus Christ, in his powerful name, and with your special intercession, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I guess I can explain a little bit that devotion, and this being the month of Mary and the month of May, that we honor her in a special way. And that was a devotion that was put together when I was bishop in Charleston, South Carolina. A priest by the name of Father Stan Smolensky helped me to formulate it and help found a shrine to Our Lady of Joyful Hope that is a little west of Charleston, South Carolina. And we have a beautiful image of her that is an icon, and also these two statues of her, one that's there in the shrine, and the other that is here at our in Hansville near Birmingham, at Our Lady of Joyful Hope Chinakalo community. And that particular devotion, and as I mentioned, was a result of Pope John Paul II's year of the Rosary, and also his devotion that he expressed the importance of a devotion to Mary in a special encyclical. So we put the two together, and he had the year of the Eucharist. I apologize, year of Eucharist. And then an encyclical related to the Blessed Mother and the Rosary. So anyway, we felt that two could be combined, and that it's the only devotion that has both Our Lady of the Rosary and Our Lady of the Eucharist combined in one particular devotion. And we named then the Chinakalo community that is in Hansville. We devoted that to her, Our Lady of Joyful Hope community. And as I mentioned, the Del Rios donated a marble statue of her that's on the grounds there. If you're ever visiting Hansville, Mother Angelica's monastery, you're certainly welcome to come and visit the Chinakalo community there. Now, many of you know the Chinakalo community probably from when you visited Lourdes. Perhaps some of you, I know you do that annually, have visited one or the other of the Chinakalo communities that are in Lourdes. The Chinakalo community was founded by a sister, Elvira Petrazzi, who had a special devotion to people in the street in the community in which she was a member, which was a community of Our Lady of Charity, Sisters of Charity. She was a cook in a kitchen, and she used to feed people out the back door of her convent, people from the street. She had a devotion to them because in her own life, her father had been a severe alcoholic. She dealt with the addiction problem in her family, and had a special heart for people struggling. And at a certain point, she had asked the superior of the community to allow her to work with people on the streets. And the reality was, Sister Elvira only had a third grade education. And they just told her flat out, no way, you don't have enough background educationally to do this kind of work. And they put her off. But she kept begging, and she was a loyal and obedient daughter of the community and just kept asking. And finally, after about 5 years, they released her to do that. Now the book, that Ray referred to is entitled The Embrace of God's Mercy, Mother Elvira and the Story of Community Chinakalo. It's the Chinakalo community. The word Chinakalo comes from the actually Italian word for the Last Supper, the upper room, the cenacle. And the Eucharist is pivotal in the community, and it's in its founding that happened around 1982 in a little town of Saluzzo. Once Mother Elvira was released, she and a couple of their sisters took up a residence in an abandoned building in the area of Saluzzo, which is near Turin in Italy. Now, my acquaintance with Mother Elvira happened by divine providence. Some of you may know the Christopher Movement and Father Cator, C-A-T-O-I-R, who had been head of it. He's still living. And back about 27 years ago, I happened to read one of his articles on addictions and how to combat them. And he referred to the Italian church as having a special community that had a high success rate. Well, I was as a pastor, I pastored a parish at the University of Florida and also various places, but also in St. Augustine. One was en route. The St. Augustine one was off Route 95 and the other was in Gainesville was off 75. And we had a lot of people coming from the north into our parish for help coming, you know, as living on the streets. And many were propelled into that after our federal government stopped funding mental institutions. So a lot of people are on the street and they're coming for help. And originally, at those two parishes, we joined other churches and we founded soup kitchens in those towns. They're still there. St. Francis houses in both Gainesville and St. Augustine. And that was our answer, soup kitchens. And our, women who had some background but very little formulated this for us and helped us respond to the street people. They were both, became both soup kitchens and shelters. But when I was pastor in St. Augustine at the cathedral there, I realized many of the people were dying on the streets and there was a need for some help to get them off the street. And so I decided this time I would not do it ecumenically. I would have a strictly Catholic direction. And with the help of the St. Vincent de Paul Society, we purchased land west of St. Augustine. It's probably about 8 miles west of St. Augustine on Route 16. And as time went along, I realized many of the people were addicted, and I had help from students from the University of Florida, and we really did not have a handle on addictive behavior. And that's when I read the article by Father Cator. Fortunately, I was on a sabbatical, able to go on a sabbatical to Italy around 1992 and began looking for that community. I lost the article, lost the name, but went on a search when I was doing a sabbatical at the Angelicum. Now, I had some Italian background because I had studied in Rome for an STL and STD degree in theology at the Gregorian. This time I was auditing spiritual theology courses at the Angelicum. And I happened to find a priest by the name of Monsignor Anthony LaFemina, who was doing research then on drug addiction and family life. He was working with the Council of the Family, and he became really an expert on what was being done around the world in the Catholic Church for addictions. Now, the Italian Church was a little bit out ahead of us in America, and as I say, I was looking for something distinctly Catholic. There were numerous programs in Italy run by the church for addicted people. And heroin was a big drug of choice back then. In our country, crack cocaine had emerged, and many of the street people in America back in the early 1990s were addicted to crack cocaine. But Monsignor's article basically, and his publication that came out of the Council of Family, indicated that we needed to look at helping the families deal with addictive behavior, because often that behavior originated within the context of family life. And my experience there also led me to say that the Italians were a little more comprehensive. They believed that addictive behavior cannot be resolved in short time. Most of the Italian programs were 3 years minimum. And Monsignor LaFemina said, if he were picking a community to work with, it would be Mother Elvira's Chinakalo community, which had been off the ground for about 10 years at that time, having started around 1981, 82. So I met her, thanks to Monsignor LaFemina, who is now deceased with the Lord. He was celebrating a mass for family members in Rome. And she invited me north to Saluzzo to see the headquarters and see what she was up to. And in her own language, Italian, she said, Padre, abbiamo risultati. Father, we have results. So at a certain point, I said, well, I need her help back in the States, invited her. And so she sent two men to help my man back in St. Augustine, Florida. And then eventually, so I had the help of the St. Vincent de Paul Society to purchase that land. We named it the Our Lady of Hope community at St. Vincent de Paul Farm. Eventually, I said, she knows what she's doing. We don't. We'll turn it over to her. And that's what happened. So she and her men came. She sent eventually 10 men, first two and then 10. And they began working in Florida. So I'd just like to tell you a little bit about her approach. And the book itself, The Embrace of God's Mercy, is published by Sophia Institute Press, and it's her story. And she is known very well in Italy, throughout much of Europe, and throughout the world. She now has about 70 communities, including orphanages in various parts of the world. So it was about 25 years ago, as I mentioned, I met her in Rome, and this relationship has continued ever since. As I mentioned, the Italian word Chinakalo is translated in English cenacle, and that upper room where the Last Supper took place. It's pronounced with a hard, with a CH sound, Chinakalo. The success rate comes from it being longer term and also heavily disciplined, centered on the Eucharist and devotion to the Blessed Mother. Now, as I say, it's a challenging community. It took about 5 years for us to translate it into the American culture because Americans want solutions instantaneously. I compare a drug addiction to be like what I did recently in putting diesel fuel in my power lawnmower that took just regular gas. Once you do that, you have to take all the fuel out, clean it thoroughly, and that takes hours. I had to have that done with my power mower. So with a drug addiction, when you place something like drugs in your system, plus all the effects on mind, body, and spirit, it takes time to grow away from that. And you need to put something strong in its place. So Elvira's method is the Eucharist. You know, we Catholics have resources that unfortunately we don't rely on. And our Protestant brothers and sisters have many rehab programs and strongly push the scriptures, which is beautiful, but we need to pull out our stops as Catholics. And unfortunately, we don't well. But Mother Elvira did, and that's what I liked about what she was doing. And so I compare her to Coach Nick Saban, University of Alabama, who reminds his football team that there are two kinds of pain in the world, one caused by discipline, the other caused by disappointment. If you choose the pain of discipline, he says, you won't have to face the pain of disappointment. And Mother Elvira has that same kind of perspective. That's why she has so many success stories. And as I said, she says, abbiamo risultati, padre. We have results. So, over 25 years ago, Mother Elvira accepted my invitation to come to the United States. And as I said, it was difficult. Originally, it looked like it wasn't going to work because it was so tough. And Mother Elvira, Albino Aranio and myself, Albino was the representative for her in the United States, we just thought it wasn't going to work. It was too demanding. And Mother Elvira knew better than we did. She said, if there's one man that stays, we're staying. And that man, his name was Ben, stayed. And then she was right. Others came and stayed, and more came. And Albino and I were proven wrong. Mother Elvira knew young people, including American young people, better than we did. It's just that we often tend to lower our standards and expectations. She doesn't. And her story and meditations have appeared throughout the years in many popular publications such as Magnificat, Catholic Digest, the National Catholic Register, and most recently in this book, The Embrace of God's Mercy. Unfortunately, the English-speaking world doesn't all know her so well, and so that was the intention of that book, translated from an Italian book called L'Abbraccio. And Mother Elvira being an Italian, embracing people is common to her. So she has a warm smile and a big embrace of anybody that comes her way. She and I have worked closely together. I've always respected her wisdom, and I might have had my own opinions on how things should be done in America, but I always listened to her and never got in her way. And there are now two men's communities in St. Augustine area. Our Lady of Hope, the original community we started with, west of St. Augustine, south of St. Augustine in U.S. 1, there's now Mary Immaculate, which is their biggest house and community. And then there is St. Maria Goretti community, which is also west of St. Augustine. Both of those areas where we settled, those communities have now become very populated and fast-growing parts of St. John's County, which is one of the fastest-growing areas of our country. I'd just like to share a little quotation from Mother Elvira to give you a feel for how the woman thinks and what her purposes are. In the book, The Embrace of God's Mercy, she said, "We want to love, not pretending to believe, but truly believing that young people, even when they have failed, have a potential that hasn't been ignited. We welcome them as they are. We welcome them in order to love them in their need today without thinking of tomorrow. At the same time, however, we want them to understand that they can do it and have a future. For when things are done with love, passion, and will, life can be rebuilt. We expect all this from them positively, precisely because we love them. It is a love that aims to restore their dignity. They are not old, sick, or physically handicapped. They are young men and women who have lost their way, and they have the right to find it again, to rediscover that their lives have value, that within them is a treasure of goodness, will, strength, and love that they must discover and believe in. We started out in a demolished, abandoned house, just like the lives of the young people who knock on our doors. As they rebuilt the walls, the young men rebuilt their willpower, their trust in themselves, and their future. I told them, here, no one pays your way. You must earn your lives through your own sweat, step after step, rock after rock, discovering that within you is the strength and dignity of a new life. And they believed. We were born in an abandoned house without any financial security. Everything is the work of God and the struggles of many brothers and sisters. We often think of our roots, poor but beautiful, rich in faith, sacrifice, joy, and living prayer. As I mentioned, Mother Elvira only had a third grade education, And Pope Francis is right when he said you didn't have to have a PhD to be a missionary disciple. With people who have a heart like her, that kind of person can make a difference in the world, even without vast amounts of education. She believed, because she experienced in her own family the destruction that addictive behavior causes, and she did not judge her father. He would come to school to pick her up on his bicycle trunk. Kids would make fun of her and him, but that didn't stop her from loving her father and showing the compassion of God. I just want to kind of say that when I speak to kids at confirmation, I refer to that passage. The Holy Spirit has anointed you to bring glad tidings to the poor, healing to the brokenhearted, liberty to captives, sight to the blind, and to announce your favor from the Lord, which Jesus himself applied to himself in the temple, in the synagogue. That anointing is with us in our own baptism and our sacrament of confirmation. We were anointed. And you notice all those indications were anointed to bring healing to and help to suffering people. So compassion is identifying ourselves with the suffering people of the world. And compassion is what leads us, as you are doing so beautifully with those people you bring from various parts of the United States to Lourdes. Your heart is struggling for those handicapped people, and some of whom are terminal. That's at the root of this kind of service that Mother Elvira envisioned. And it's at the root of what we call stewardship, sharing our time, talent, and treasure. One of the beautiful teachings of Mother Elvira is divine providence. And originally, when we had the land for Our Lady of Hope community, we planned to have an ornamental nursery. I had a permit on the property so we could sell plants to make money for the property. When the Chinatlo guys came, they realized that we were planning that, and they said, Mother Elvira won't allow that. She doesn't trust us with money in our hands, and she doesn't want us to, you know, they don't want to have a special contacts with the outside world for fear of smuggling in drugs. So I said to them, how do you expect this program to last? Because we bishops, we always start off with figuring out how we're going to pay for whatever we do. And I did that as a priest. And the guys told me, divine providence, Father. And I said, what's divine providence? And the guy said, you'll find out, Father. And meaning, I would learn from them how this works. So they're not allowed to buy any food, household materials, stuff that is mainly for nourishment, food, and that kind of thing. And it sounds like, well, this isn't going to work, because they are, in effect, a mendicant community. Well, it's like 27 years later, and I haven't seen them starving. So they rely on the goodness of people to bring in food. If they don't have salt, they don't have sugar, they don't have this, they don't have that, they just get by with what they have. So they are a mendicant community, and they're not supposed to advertise their needs or tell me or others, we need sugar, we need bread, we need eggs, we need this. She's trying to teach drug addicts that they can rely on the Lord and that he will provide all their needs. And I have to say, I've learned more about divine providence from that little nun than anybody else. God does help people, and surprisingly, people like this. I think God has a special place in his heart for people that are struggling with addictions. And so if we help them, God is going to bless us. And he opens all kind of doors. And, you know, as I try to open, we try to open these communities, it's not easy to find a place that will be for addicts to be welcomed. And both situations, we prayed hard. Before we opened Our Lady of Hope, we had a year of prayer to Our Lady of Hope, that devotion. And before opening Chinakalo in Hansville, we prayed to St. Joseph in a special way, and we believe he has had a hand. We named the road going into the community St. Joseph Lane. So there is the power of prayer when you're working with these kind of situations, and divine providence is definitely, definitely at work. Well, I just want to also thank once again Jack and Linda Del Rio. If you come to visit Our Lady of Joyful Hope community in Hansville, you'll see the beautiful statue they had carved, and it's in front of the house there. And so I prayed that prayer at the beginning to Our Lady of Joyful Hope, and I just conclude with saying, to Our Lady of Joyful Hope, we entrust all the knights and dames of Malta in gratitude for bringing hope to so many people through their generosity and their courage and their deep faith and their love. May you bless all of them in the days ahead as they continue to serve you, as they serve the poor of our world. We make our prayer to Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And I might just give a little information. You can find out more about them on www.hopereborn.org. Their office where they oversee the community in the United States and parts of Latin America is in Jacksonville, Florida. I have the information on that if anybody asks me. And then the website, if people are looking how to get people in there, provides information on Servants of Hope, where the contact people. So www.hopereborn.org has information on Servants of Hope. Each area of the country has representatives that will lead you to Chinakalo. God bless you all.
And again, thank you very much, Bishop Baker, for your very thoughtful and hope-filled presentation. I have, and I'm sure that all the callers have benefited from your sharing the story, for your caring ministry, and in helping to bring Mother Elvira's mission to the U.S. Thanks to all who joined the call this morning, including our friends from the Federal and Western Association who also joined. The recording of this call will be posted on the American Association website and will be available for anyone to listen to again or to share with your family and friends. God bless you all. Our next call, like all these calls, is scheduled for the first Wednesday of the month, June 2nd at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Father Alfredo Hernandez will speak on devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Have a blessed day. And again, thank you, Bishop Baker, for your kindness in joining us today.
God bless you, Ray. Thank you.